Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. We'll read the whole psalm, verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit here. Father, if your people in this area are to receive a blessing today, they'll have to do it through our man of God. And fill our preacher with your power, please. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we have what today you have for us so that we can go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'll tell you something. I enjoy what I do. I'm sitting here on the platform, and a lot of people do a lot of things for relaxation. I am so happy as I stand in this pulpit this morning that I am the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. As she sang the song, I scanned the crowd, and I thought, I am so happy that these people are here today. I'm so happy that you're a member of our church. If you're a guest here today, I'm just thrilled you're here. I was watching this. You're being introduced, and for some reason, God brought you our way. You know, I'm afraid, folks, somehow we want to complicate Christianity. We make it harder than what it really is. I mean, if you'd stop and look at some of the stories and the teachings of Jesus Christ, he wasn't this deep theological, hard to understand individual. He made it quite simple. Right. He told a story of a lost boy. Another time he told a story of a lost sheep. And then one day he told a story about a coin. Talked about some fishing and trying to keep people out of hell. How in the world did we get in this massive web of depth that's hard to understand and hard to follow? Where did that kind of Christianity come from? It surely is not what the Bible teaches. I don't understand it. We seem to make Christianity harder than what it truly is. We are almost embarrassed of its simplicity. Preachers, I think almost arrogantly, do not want to be associated with Christianity's simplicity. Maybe that's because they're so impressed with themselves, they'd hate for anyone to think that they think that simply. But you just have to forgive me today. The sermon will be one of tremendous simplicity. It'll be quite simple. If you're a visitor here today, there's no doubt in my mind you say, there's just something a little different about this place. Indeed, there is. Indeed, there is. We here believe in real Christianity. Not a facade. It's not a religious game to us. We really believe this stuff. This stuff we were singing, I'll tell you something. You can sing like that when you believe it.
Amen. Amen.
But you know, if you just glance at it and it's not real to you, when you sing it, it doesn't come from your heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so maybe if you fill your heart up with good things, it'll come out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we so complicate things. Now, here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, we're a family. Now, the Bible teaches we're part of the family of God. I'm if you came to expecting today that I was going to romp and stomp and snort and spit and kick things, unless a couple of you fall asleep, I'll only do that to keep you awake today, all right? And there'll be a few of you going to do it on purpose, you know, just to see if you can get me going. But to be honest, today I'd kind of like to just have a family talk, something that I think will help you. Oh, it'll be a sermon, but at the same time, I just want to help our church. And to our guests, thank you for being here today. There's no doubt you'll learn a little something from the little family chat and the little family talk. But we have something good going here, and I'd like to keep it going. I'd like to see it continue, and indeed, I think it will. I almost preached this sermon this evening, and then it occurred to me early this morning, no, I shouldn't wait till tonight. I need to preach it this morning. And so I just call this sermon called, I call it Serve God. Simple title, Serve God. Psalm 100, verse number 2, we read the whole chapter earlier. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Notice it says, serve the Lord. So you all know you're to serve the Lord. You say, we hear that all the time. I know, but I just want to remind you. You are to serve the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse number 11 says this, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now here the Bible is talking about a fervency in regard to our spirit and serving the Lord. So it is not a lax service to God, but it's a fervency, some urgency, we might want to use the word, with some dynamics, with some aggression, with some pizzazz or some oomph, if you will. So I'm to serve the Lord, and I'm to do it with some fervency. In Acts chapter 26, verse number 7, the Bible says this, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night. Here the Bible says we ought to just be serving Him all the time. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 19, the Bible says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Here God said, we are to serve Him, and it's to be done in a humble way. Now, as I look through here, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. It says, serve the Lord fervently. It says we should serve Him instantly, day and night. It says, serve the Lord with humility. Then in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So God's saying, you need to get yourself cleaned up, give yourself to God. That's only reasonable if you're going to serve Him. I am in a constant search for your spiritual needs, and then truths to help you with those needs. I spend, I'm thinking day in and day out, all day long, I'm asking the Lord and asking myself, what does our church need right now? Now, there are some pastors, I think they just go to some periodical and they pull out some sermon just trying to fill in the preaching slot for Sunday morning, and they try to find something to fill in the preaching slot for Sunday night and then fill in the preaching slot for Wednesday night. I don't think that way at all. I say to myself every day of my life, what do our people need? What's their need? How can I help them? How can the sermon be applied to their life? And what do they need right now? I spend my life thinking and searching for your spiritual needs and then the truths that will help meet those needs. I'm in a constant search for possible problems that would hinder our church. I'm constantly looking, what could happen in our church? What could be negative that would pull our church down? And how can I help our people in case that comes? See, here in this pulpit, I practice a thing that's called preventative maintenance. In other words, I would like to prevent church catastrophes. I would like to prevent family catastrophes. I would like to prevent personal Christian catastrophes rather than fix them up after they're broken down or after we've had a breakdown. Now, we help people that break down. God knows, hey, everybody falls and goofs up. But I'd like to help you not to goof up if I can. So, I'm in a constant search for what you need. Then I'm in a constant search to provide the spiritual truth you need. Then I'm in this constant search for what problems we might face so I can help us to divert or not to have those problems. Then, there's another thing I'm constantly searching for. I'm constantly searching for opportunities for you to serve God. Constantly. Hey, as our staff here, we are constantly making more work for ourselves. Constantly. We are always searching for ways for you to be used of God. So here we are. We're seeking for what you need. We're seeking for the truths that will meet your need. We're seeking to discover what could possibly be a problem on the horizon, solving it in advance. We're searching for ways and seeking ways that you could serve God. And then I am constantly searching for people who are willing to be good spiritual examples so they can fulfill those opportunities that we create. Always looking for a way to create something so people can serve God. Then looking for people who are willing to be good spiritual examples and fulfill or fill some of those opportunities. See, in the church, we all ought to want to serve God. But like in any organization or anything that there's a group of people that are after a common cause, there are different levels of service and different levels of opportunity. And those different levels of service and different levels of opportunity are for, in the church, they're for different levels of spirituality or separation or growth. We all know it. A child starts out and mama carries them everywhere. Why? That's the level of their transportation. Mom takes them everywhere. They get a little older, you give them a tricycle because that's their level of transportation. You get a little older, you take the training wheels off, and then they can take off. And you get a little older, and some of you who have little ones right now, there's coming a day when your boy's going to say, "Dad, can I borrow the car keys?" Because that's their level of transportation. That's what they can handle right now. So it's a growing thing. It's that way with everything and anything. Now, I have a sermon that I preached here. It's probably been about a year ago. I preached a whole sermon called, "Help, I Need Role Models." Help, I need people that can step up and become role models and fill positions of authority and serve in the church where they can stand as a testimony and influence other people. If you've never heard the sermon, you need to go to the back table back here and order it. It's called "Help, I Need Role Models." We ought to all want to serve God. We ought to. We're constantly looking for ways for people to serve in the church. Everybody that's born again is to serve God. And if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you ought to get saved so you can serve God. Because you too, even though you say, "I'm not even interested in God," you're really required to serve Him, whether you're interested or not. There's something you're supposed to be doing for God right now, and you're not doing it because you've never taken an interest in God. So to every person that's in this building today that's born again, you're to be serving God. To every person in this building today that's not born again, you're supposed to be serving God too. So if I were you, I'd get saved and get started. We say, "Well, Brother Owens, don't all saved people serve God?" Oh, no. No, no. There are those who say, "Save me!" And that's where it ends. They just want to be saved. Well, it makes sense. I mean, why not? You go to heaven. It's a free gift. God made salvation available. But there are some that just say, "Save me." Notice this. "Love me." Well, there's me again. "Give me strength. Give me peace. Give me direction in life. Make me happy, God. Give me heaven. Don't give me hell." Yeah, there are actually people that get saved, but really, it's all about me. 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 Save me, God. Love me, God. Give me strength, God. Give me peace, God. Give me direction, God. Make me happy, God. Give me heaven, God. Don't give me hell, God. But wait a minute. We're all supposed to be serving God. how is it that it turns out that he spends all of his time serving us and somehow we don't want to serve him? He's the king. He's the king, not us. Everybody is serving something or someone. Everybody here. Every person here is serving something or someone. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24 says this, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon there is the word money. It's talking about, here's somebody that's virtually their whole life is about money. They're serving money. They're serving their own comfort. They're serving money. Now look, do you serve money? Or do you serve yourself? Is it all about me? 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 Do you serve the devil? I mean, there are people that actually are doing the things that the devil wants them to do with their life, and they are doing service to him. Or do you serve God? Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10, the Bible says this, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now the title of my sermon today is this, Serve God. Serve God. Here, we're to serve God, and we've heard that, and we know that. But wait, here it says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." There's a difference in worshiping God and serving God. There's a difference in worshiping and serving. You say, "Well, I came to church." Well, that's not serving God. You should want to serve God. That's playing an active role in what goes on in the work of God. Not just watching it go on, but you have an active role in the service of the King of the universe. We spend hours in our staff meetings developing opportunities at different levels for people to serve. Many of you that have been here since I've had the privilege of being pastor for the last 3.5 years, and you have watched as every time you turn around, we start another Sunday school class, and we recruit another Sunday school teacher, and another assistant teacher, and then another church bus route, and another bus captain, and another bus driver, and some more workers, and we take every program, and we develop it, and we add more, and more opportunity, and more opportunity, and more opportunity, and more opportunity for people to do what? To serve. Serve and serve and serve and serve and serve and serve. Why? Because when you get saved, you're supposed to serve God. Serve Him. You should want to serve God. Now, not everybody can do everything. But I can tell you this. Nothing should be beneath you.
Amen.
Nothing. Don't ever develop an attitude that says, "I'm too good to do that for God." Don't you ever make yourself believe you're too big for certain low life opportunities in the church. That opportunity right there, Brother Owens, I'm too big for that little opportunity. I'm very sorry, my friend. There are no low-level opportunities in God's service. They're all big. Acts chapter 20, verse number 19 says, "Serving the Lord with all humility of mind." You know, when I first got into church, an assistant pastor by the name of Mike Stoner came to me. And you know what he asked me to do? I heard someone preach, "Ought I serve God." I thought, that sounds good. Let me get up in front of everybody. Let me be in the limelight. And Mike Stoner, the assistant pastor, came to me and said, "Would you like to help around the church?" I thought, here we go. They see my ability. They got their eye on me, all right. I said, "Sure." He said, "Wear are your work clothes. See, at 6 tomorrow morning, we're going to dig a sewage ditch." What? And I showed up. And I decided that it was best that I understand it was an honor to dig a sewage ditch for the church. Do you know there are actually people under the sound of my voice, if it were told that we were going to dig a sewage ditch, you'd say, sure. You obviously don't know who you're talking to because I come from the other side of the tracks. Well, I'm too important to serve God at such a low level. I want to tell you something. There is no low-level service with God. I remember when they came to me and they said, got something for you to do, Jeff. I said, what is it? Well, it has to do with the choir. I thought, they're latching on to my talent now. I mean, I can sing. Here we go. And the choir director handed me the choir folders and said, we want you to label the front of the folder. What? You want me to label the front of the folder? But it was service for the king.
Amen.
I remember those as virtually my first two duties. Sewage ditch and folder laborer. It's not even on my resume today. Listen to me. There are no unimportant jobs in God's service. No lower level. There are no undignified jobs in God's service. There's no class system in the church. There are some people, though, who can get too dignified to do some things. But there are no undignified services to God. Now, let me make sure you understand something. You should not seek a position, but you should seek the opportunity to serve.
Amen.
See, we're to serve God. That's called sincerely, humbly. Every person here ought to say, all I want to do is serve God.
Amen.
That's all. That's all I want. You should not be seeking a position, but you should seek the opportunity to serve. If you serve just hoping you can get a position out of it, your motive's not pure. I mean, if you say, well, I'll tell you what, if I do a whole bunch of serving, I'll get a position out of it. There's a lack of purity in your motive. You ought to serve God because you want to serve God. It's time for Christians to begin to realize you ought to serve God whether you get a position or you get exalted or not. You're to serve Him. You should serve out of a pure heart, not with an ulterior motive. Now, I don't know your heart. We don't know one another's heart, but I can tell you somebody who does know your heart, that's God. And He is keeping the records. Hey, listen, not everybody can do everything, but there are some things that everybody can do. Honestly. If you're here today and you have a sincere heart and you say, Brother Owens, I just want to serve God. I don't have to have some position. I don't have to be exalted. I don't have to get any attention. You don't have to call my name. It doesn't have to be printed anywhere. From the purest of my heart, all I want to do is I want to serve God. And if you're out there like that, guess what? There are all sorts of things you can do for God. In a minute, I'm going to give you a list of some things you can do if you just want to serve God. Let me tell you something. When we do pick people for positions, when we do pick people for influence and authority and leadership around the church, let me tell you what we do. We pick them by seeing if they are humble enough to already be doing what everybody could and should be doing anyway. What I'm saying is, I just told you, we're not to be seeking position, but there are different levels of leadership and opportunity in the church. And when we do go to picking people to fill those opportunities and those positions of influence, let me tell you what I do. I look out to see who is humbly already doing all they can do without having a position. Because that tells me there is sincerity and service already in them. Why would I want to give someone a position who it is only the position that motivates them to serve? No, they should be motivated to serve long before they have the position. That way, you know, they fulfill and fill the position with humility, with true servitude in their heart. When somebody is without position and they're doing right, it kind of gives you the feeling they might do right when they get the position, huh? But you have to be offered a title to serve God then I guess something's missing in your heart, huh? Because you ought to serve Him, whether you get a title, or if you get exalted, or if you get the limelight. You know what we could all do? We could all decide, I sincerely want to serve God. And it doesn't matter to me if I ever get exalted or not. I'm to be a servant, and I will be honored to serve, even if it's Degasui's ditch. I just want to serve Him. Say, what kind of things could we all do for God? Well, as simply as I know how, I just wrote down a bunch of things that everybody can't do everything, but there are some things everybody can do. I'm going to give you about 20 things that everybody in this building can do to serve God, if you want to serve God. And you say, well, how will we know? Well, we'll see what you do about it. For instance, everybody here, I'm enlisting the entire congregation, whoever you are, no matter how you dress, how you act, no matter what, how you live, I'm enlisting you today to pray for this ministry daily and often. So that's not really what I had in mind. I know, because you don't get any attention over it. Pray. Pray for that bus ministry and its safety during these difficult weather days. Pray for the staff, and pray for our school, and pray for our church, and pray for the preachers around here. I enlist everybody here to decide, I just want to serve God and serve the people of God, and I am going to serve Him by giving my energy to prayer. You know, there are people that if I offered a position of authority in the church today, they would just run to get it. But you can't get them to even pray. That doesn't make sense to me. Why are we so interested in position? Let's do what Christians are supposed to do. We're supposed to serve. We're to serve God. And it is a great service to the church and a great service to God's people when you pray for them. What else could you do? I'll tell you what you could do. You could sing. You could sing. Sing out. Grab that songbook, turn to the pages, and sing. Just sing. Oh, I know. We've not discovered your talent yet, and we should have you come up here and sing like Brother Chris Edwards did today. But when someone says sing, you think, yeah, make me a soloist. No. Sing in your pew. Sing in your Sunday school class. Hey, teenager, sing on your bus route. Brother Owens, I'd like to be in a quartet. Won't you just sit there with the three other people sitting by you in a pew and get you a quartet going and sing? Well, I want the position. Wait a minute. Where does the Bible teach that? Doesn't the Bible teach us that the people that get put into the positions are the ones that have the qualities of leadership, not just the position of leadership? Sing. Sing, sing, sing. Everybody here could pray. Everybody here could sing. I'll tell you what else you could do. Everybody here could pay attention during the church services. Be careful. We're very cautious with our church services. That's why we'll announce something like we have nurseries, and we don't want the little ones to disturb the services. That's because we love the people in the church. That little one could disturb a whole section of people could be disturbed by a child that doesn't know any better. We're not mad at that child. We're just saying we need to serve one another. We need to make sure that as the preacher's preaching, everybody can listen and there's not something that would frustrate their attention. You could pay close attention. You could stay awake. Do you know how disheartening it is for somebody in the church to watch you nodding off during church? So what should I do? Maybe you ought to go to bed at night and turn your television off. Or is your television so important that you'd rather sleep during church and stay awake while the weirdos from Hollywood entertain you? What's most important to you? Hey, pay attention during the church services. Don't sleep. Don't ignore what's going on. It is a good thing. I can pretty well. I don't get my inspiration from the crowd. But if I did, there are a few people you could have me bored out of my mind preaching. That one couple, every time they start to get under conviction about something, they talk to each other and they laugh. It's very frustrating to me. I never tell them, even you, who it is. But it's almost a childish, immature, juvenile way about them. You're not helping the people set beside you and behind you. You just wait until your kids grow up and see you behaving that way. They're going to behave the same way, and you'll be sorry when they reach the teenage years when you can't get them to pay attention in church, and conviction is funny to them because they learned that from mom and dad. You want to serve God? Pay attention during the church services. Get this. A week ago, I had a young lady come to me and say, Brother Owens, the person sitting in front of me had their Bible with a novel in it and read a secular written novel all the way through the church service. The person behind me said it was very distracting. To think that that person would be so irreverent during the preaching of the Word of God. You know, there are some things we can all do for God. We can pray. We can sing. We can pay attention during the preaching. We can give reverence to it. Hey, you know something? There's something else we can do. You men could say amen. You know what that is? That is an outward verbalization of agreement on the preaching of the Word of God. That's all it is. Now, we don't have ladies say amen, and we're going to be careful letting the children get involved in all that. You say, well, I think kids ought to praise God. I do too, but I think they don't always have the good sense to know when to say amen. So we'll be careful. But there's some of you men, it would not hurt you every once in a while to nod your head instead of... when you startle yourself awake again. You say, well, Brother Owens, I'm not an outward kind of a person. I'd like to see you at a football game. I'd like to see you at a ball game. My wife, she was teasing me. My son Jeremiah shot a deer the other day. She said, you men, I do not understand you. She said, he was bouncing all over the place. He was bouncing off the walls. He said, perfect shot. Perfect shot. I mean, down it went right in his tracks. Oh, Mom, it was great. My wife said, what? What's the height? But anybody that's ever taken the deer down, you know exactly what was happening there. There's some of you, you shoot a deer and you'll come unglued. You'll see your favorite team get a touchdown and boy, you're just busting at the seams. You come to church and you sit there and you do this. Don't you tell me you're not an excitable person. You've just chosen not to get excited about God because that would associate you. And you're worth some money. People that are worth money do not get excited about God. Anybody that calls him God doesn't know him. God. You don't fool anybody. You might be thinking you're fooling yourself, but you're not even that. Say amen every once in a while, fellas. Don't be ashamed of that. That's something we could all do. Hey, you could be a people praiser. You know, there are people that do a lot of things in the church, and it wouldn't hurt that we praise them. What would hurt if somebody in here, when the ushers do their job, somebody goes to them and say, I sure appreciate what you do. What does it hurt that you praise a Sunday school teacher or an assistant teacher? You praise someone that sang. You praise a junior church worker. Let me tell you right now. The junior church workers and the primary church workers are across the way, and while we're in here and it's calm and everything's going smooth, there are children hanging from the ceiling over there right now. There are primary church workers that are tied with ropes being burned at the stake right this second. And your kids have the matches! And I mean, they're going to be pulling their hair out saying, if I have to tell you one more time to get off that desk, I'm coming to get you. And when you go over to pick up your kids in a moment, you're going to say, how were they? And Brother Stephen Dave's going to say, they were fine. They were fine. He's got scars all up and down his legs from being bit, kicked, and spit on. Praise a junior church worker. Give him a gift. Give him a box of Band-Aids or something. Praise the bus workers. Hey, these are things anybody could do. You say, I want to serve God, then pray for the work of God. I want to serve God, then sing and sing out. Hey, you say, but I want to be called up on the platform and pray. We're talking about serving God now. I don't know what you're talking about. In humility of your heart. Well, I want to sing on the platform. I want to sing in the choir. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about serving God. Tithe. Bible teaches we're to give one-tenth of our gross income to the Lord. Say, I'll tell you what. If I give a check to the church and you let everybody know, God already knows. God already knows if you steal His money. God really knows if you want to serve Him. So I'll tell you what. I'll build a building if you'll name it after me. Where's Dustin MacArthur? Oh, he's probably over in Junior Church. Wednesday night, we voted into our church constitution that when we win, we start a college for our church that we made it so it was in our church constitution on Wednesday night. And I made this statement. I said, hey, you give us $1 million, I'll name the college after you. Dustin MacArthur, I think. Brother Ray, Dustin, third grade, fourth grade, Dustin MacArthur wrote me a check for $1 million. Slid it underneath my door. Then somebody asked me this. They asked me that if Bob Jones would give the million if we'd name the college Bob Jones University. For those of you who don't know, we have our own Bob Jones here. If you don't name it after me, I'll give the money. How about you give to God what you're supposed to give and get no attention? None. Zero. Why? Because you're serving Him. Don't we overcomplicate things? Just serve God in all humility, the Bible says. Tithe. Give your offerings. Be faithful to all the church services. Now, I don't want to serve God. Well, then just show up to all the church services. Now, let me tell you something. I'm talking about Sunday school, Sunday night church. I'm talking about Wednesday night church. You know something? There's something we misunderstand. Brother Brad, I'm going to use this for a second. Somehow we think that we're serving God because we're sitting in these pews this morning. That's a little bit of misrepresentation of the truth. For instance, if today, does anybody know, is there a Steelers game today? Anyone know? Is there a Steelers game? Who are they playing, Brother Davis? Cincinnati, is that the Bengals? Okay, they're playing the Bengals today. Now let me ask you a question. If I went to a Steelers game today, and I sat in the stands, would I be playing for the Steelers? No. I'd be watching somebody else play. Now, if you just walk in the church and you plunk it down and you do nothing other than listen to the preaching, you're not playing on the team. You attended the game. Now, when you come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when you're in Sunday school and you sing and you say amen, now you're starting to get to be a part of the team. You've become a good example to other people. You're influencing other people. You say, I would like to have a position of influence in the church. I am looking for all sorts of people that really mean that. If you really mean you'd like to be influential in the church, if you really mean that you would like some true authority and leadership, then you become what leaders are. I'm not talking about a position now. You want to influence people? I'll tell you something to influence people. People that are faithful. That influences people. That changes lives. Be faithful to all the services. Be an example to others. Don't just watch the game. Decide to get in the game and serve God. Why? Okay, but I got to be quarterback. We're going to have to have some linebackers. Hey, we're going to have some tackles, and we've just got to have both. You say, well, if I can't pick to be quarterback, I don't want to play. Then you don't want to serve. You just want a position. good teams made up of everybody playing their position and doing what they can, playing hard. What else? Hey, there's some things that anybody could do. Anybody could serve God. You could pray. And you could sing. You could pay attention during the services. And men, you could say amen. And we could praise the people that play the different positions. And we could tithe and give our offering and be in all the services. We could be greeters. You say, are you recruiting me as a greeter? Yep, every one of you.
Amen.
Everybody here. Say, but well, wonder if I don't follow all the church's expectations and standards. I want you to go ahead and be friendly with everybody anyway. I want you to shake hands with everybody. I want you to say hi to everybody. I want you to smile. Get here early to be a greeter. Linger and greet people. How'd you like to be a church? You know something? Some of you, if I came to you today and said, I want you to stand at this door right down here at the north end where Brother Taylor and Brother Malat and some of them stand. If I came to you and said, I would like for you to be an official greeter, you'd say, I'll take the job. But you know what you do? Because I've never asked you to be friendly to people. You come in here, you plunk it down, you sit down, you look like you've been eating nails for breakfast. You walk out and run for the parking lot as fast as you can after church. You want to be a greeter, then be a greeter. Why do you have to have a position to be friendly to people in the church? Man, I don't have any gripes. We do have the friendliest church on the face of the earth. And that's because of preventive maintenance sermons, not breakdown sermons. So give me a position. Give me the quality of the kind of person that should fulfill or fill that position. That's what I'm looking for. Yesterday, I think it was in a church male staff meeting. This is what was said to me. One of the adult Sunday school teachers said, I got this new couple. They told me this story. New couple that visited our church in the last couple of weeks said they were looking for a church. They knew they needed to get their family into church. And they went to this other church in the area, and they went once, and they about halfway through the service, everybody was so cold. About halfway through the service, they said, we just had to get up and walk out. We felt rejected. We felt like we were intruders in their church. So we just got up and left. And then we came to Shenandoah the first week, and we thought, wow. And then they said this. The second week coming to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, they barely got out of their car in the parking lot, and here come a young lady calling them by name saying, I'm so glad you came back. And they said, I can't believe this. They came to get me in the parking lot. You say, Brother Owens, I'd like to be an official greeter. Okay, everybody raise your hand like this. Everybody, come on, raise your hand. Raise your hand. As of this moment, you're all sworn in as official greeters. Let's see how you do, though. You know something? I want to recruit every single lady in our church. I want to recruit you to recruit ladies to attend the ladies' fellowships. We're having a ladies' fellowship this next Tuesday night. Every one of you, just go to everybody you can and say, why don't you come to that thing with me? Why don't you come be a part of that? It starts at 6:30. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have the friendship program and the secret friend thing. You just recruit everybody. You say, now, Brother Owens, can I be in charge of something? Yeah. You're in charge of all the other ladies in the church. Every lady in here, I'm putting you in charge of all the other ladies in the church, and your job is to get them to the ladies' fellowship Tuesday night at 6:30. So when I saw what I had in mind, I know what you had in mind was a position. What God had in mind, that you had a pure, a humble, and a sincere heart, and you said, I just want to serve you. Whatever you give me to do, that's what I want to do. Get this. Everybody in here can visit our fellow church members who are sick at home. Everybody. Everybody. Did you know somebody here in the church is not well? Make him some chicken soup and take it by. It won't do him any good. But that's what you're supposed to do, right? Get him some Puffs Kleenexes and take him by. Go get him a gallon of orange juice and take it by. Say, Brother Owens, am I going to be in charge of visiting the sick at home? Yep, every one of you. Everybody here. You're recruited. You're in charge. You're the master of the program. You're to go visit every sick person in our church and love them and pray for them and encourage them. But you know what we want? That position. I want my name written down. Well, if you want it, just come by my office. I'll write your name on something. Everybody here, you show me in the Bible where it says the only person that can visit someone that's sick is the pastor. You want to serve? Let's serve. You could visit everybody here. Did you know you could go visit our members that are in the hospital? You can. When I was out at the hospital the other day, I didn't see a list of requirements of who could visit and who couldn't. Go visit somebody that's in the hospital. We could all do that. I'll say this on behalf of the men that work on my pastoral staff, and not in regard to me. But you know something? You could help me care for the needs of the other pastors in our church. We got a handful of the best men in the country that work for us. I want to meet their needs. I want to watch out for them, but I'll recruit y'all. Help me to watch out for these guys. Meet their needs. Buy them a bag of potatoes every once in a while. I don't know what we're going to do without Brother Ray Montgomery. Boy, I tell you what, Brother Montgomery, he took it serious watching out for the pastoral staff. Every time you turn around, Brother Ray, giving you 50 pounds of potatoes and deer bologna. You guys like deer bologna? You guys better start saying amen. I'm trying to help you right now. This is a good time to openly verbalize your agreement. Hey! You don't need someone to recruit you to slip $5 in the hand of one of the pastoral staff. Do it without being asked. Be loyal. I tell you what, I'd love for all of you to help me with public relations. Here's what I think we all ought to do. Everybody in our church is now officially a part of the public relations department of the Centerville Bible Baptist Church. I want you to go everywhere in town where you work with your neighbors and do good deeds. You say, what's my assignment? Find something good and do it for somebody. Let somebody have the good parking space out at Walmart and you drive on by and park 50 miles away. Just sometimes I feel like it's 50 years away. Do good deeds. Listen, I'll tell you what you could do. Let's start a snow shoveling ministry. Every teenage boy here, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go up and down your neighborhood and shovel people's walks and shovel people's driveways. And then when they try to pay you, say, no, thank you. My church just feels like we ought to serve people. Come on, yard. Go help somebody carry their groceries to their car without taking anything out of their bag. Be kind. Hey, when you're at Walmart this week and you're standing there in the line that says 20 items or less, and you notice the person in front of you, you don't just notice, you've already counted how many items are in their basket. I mean, you're there and you start out and you're so happy because you're second in line, but they've got 22 items in a 20 item or less line and you're steaming, baby. You're thinking, you stupid, ignorant fool. Oh, what are you doing? This is not your line. Get over there where you belong and let me. I have 20 items exactly, and so does my wife behind me in her basket. Who do they think they are taking the last sale item? It said one per person, and me and my husband didn't get ours. We only got one, and we're going to get two because we're both a person. That's how we think. Hey, be good. Let me tell you something. You want to serve God? Go soul winning. Go win all the people you can to Jesus Christ. But let me remind you of something. When I'm looking for someone to fill a position, I'm looking for people that do what they ought to be doing without being asked. I said, we shouldn't have to come and assign you a given spiritual task that we're all commanded to do. Hey, you know what? Bring visitors to church. I'll tell you something. The two men who, just in our fall program, won first and second place prizes for bringing visitors, Matt Zamaki and Jeremiah, can I tell you something? Both of them, even since the program has been over, are still bringing visitors. I think I've counted a dozen visitors between the two of them since the program was over. Ah, that impresses me. It's not just for the prize. For the person of Jesus Christ. Big difference. You want to serve? You say, I want to be involved. Go get somebody saved. Go get visitors. Bring them to church. Hey, get someone so that you got saved and bring them down the aisle. Let them make a public profession of Christ. You can do that. You don't need me to give you a position to do that. So, Brother Owens, I'm saying, what? I've not been living like I ought to live. You can even live bad and get somebody saved and bring them down the aisle. Well, I got some sin in my life. Good. Bring them down the aisle and let's get them baptized. Why? The expectations to serve God at this place are just too high. What are you talking about? You have every ample opportunity to cut loose and serve God to such an extreme you can't even fill all the privileges and opportunity. You just don't want to do what's available. It's available. Come on, think about it. What's stopping you from doing any of this? Are you so busy with it all? Matter of fact, if you were so busy doing all this, we would already recruit you into leadership. Get a public profession. Get somebody baptized. Get involved in our Faith Promise program. Say, I want to teach the Bible. Okay. How many people did you teach the Bible to this week? Well, I don't have a position. Why do you have to have a position to teach somebody the Bible? Why didn't you sit down with somebody at lunch at work and pop your Bible out and tell them about Jesus and teach them? Why didn't you say, could I meet with you after work for a moment? I want to teach you the Bible. Why didn't you stop somebody you don't even know? You know what you want? You want a position. A position. Hey, Brother Jones and I were talking about this. He said, you know what, Brother Owens? I wish we'd get the guys a little fired up about recruiting men to come to our prayer meeting, our men's prayer meeting, our prayer breakfast. I challenge every man in here. All 20, 25 men that show up on a regular basis. Go get you one. Go find a man and talk him into coming to the prayer meeting. Serve God. Live a separated life. Living a separated life is not necessarily service to him, but it will qualify you to do greater works. It makes you an example unto the believers, and that's what God's looking for. Be an encourager. Here's what you need to do. Have this attitude. I'll do anything that God wants me to do. I just want to serve. Won't be long, we'll be removing snow. We've got these big, beautiful parking lots. Isn't it great what God's done for us, giving us all these parking lots? Yeah, but this time of the year, I hate them parking lots. For every parking spot we have to shovel snow. Yeah, I want to serve God. Get you a shovel. You're going to have plenty of opportunity. Help us mow the yard. Help us keep the church clean. Stop and pick up trash as you leave the church. You know something? There are so many opportunities to serve God. It's amazing. But we almost virtually become arrogant. And we do not want to serve in all humility, as the Bible teaches. There is so much to do. It's incredible. Now, we spend our time, the church staff can tell you, we spend our time, I'm talking about hours and hours, we spend creating and developing opportunities for the church to serve. Because the bigger the church gets, the more service opportunities need to be made available because you're commanded to serve God. But until we get to you or until you clean your life up a little more so you can step up in that influence, why don't you just go do all the things that all of us are supposed to do anyway that prepares you and qualifies you when the position does come open? And don't do it. Just get the position. Do it because you simply want to, as the title of my sermon goes, serve God. Serve God. If you're here today and you're not born again, you got to get saved. Get this. You don't get saved by serving God. Nope. You can't work your way to heaven. The Bible clearly teaches that. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy He saved us. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What does that mean? God said, I'll do all the saving, you let me save you, but you are not saved by your works, because if you were, you'd walk around and boast about what you did to get saved. And God said, you're not going to boast about anything. You're to tell everybody it was Jesus that saved you. You can boast about what He did for you, but not what you did for yourself in regard to salvation. Because if you're not saved, you need to get born again. He did all the work for that. You just let Him save you. Then you go serve Him. You go serve Him. You know what's sad? There are all sorts of churches that are full of lost people. They're not even born again, that do more to serve God than some saved people do. They're at least trying. Doing all sorts of things around the church. They're lost and on their way to hell. Yeah, there are people that are truly born again that are spectators at the ball game, not players on the field. Sad, isn't it? If you're here today and you're not saved, I invite you to the Savior. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.